Thanks so much for joining us online. We love hearing stories about what God is doing through the message of grace all over the world from what we're doing here in Longwood, Florida. If you have a story to share, we'd love to hear it, and you can do so by emailing us at stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support what we're doing here at Grace Church, you can do so conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, I am looking for redemption. I was the pastor he was talking about, in case you didn't know. Last year I was sabotaged. I'm going to say it right now. I was sabotaged. My chili was not warmed up at all by somebody who promised me they'd warm it up. Where is he at? Is he in the room somewhere? Anyway, no, it's not his fault. But this year my chili will be better. I want to get better than a one. You gave me a one. It deserved a one. It was horrible. So sorry you had to taste it. Anyway, we'll do better this year. I hope you're excited about it. We loved it last year. Pray for good weather. The weather was fantastic last year. It'd be awesome if we have some good weather again. Well, how many of you guys felt rich all week long? Anybody feel really, really wealthy all week long? A few of you guys. Okay, we're going to go for more this week. We're going to see if we can get more of you on board. I began my week this week, actually. Monday morning, I woke up. I wasn't really feeling the best, you know? Mondays are just rough. Anybody else a big fan of Mondays? Are you really a big fan of Mondays? Oh, you fooled me. But no, I woke up and I decided to look in the mirror and take my own advice. And I said, okay. I said, Javen, despite what you're feeling, you are wealthy. You're beyond your wildest imagination. Can I tell you that just spending a little time with God in the morning makes a big difference? And my whole day was incredible. And I did feel very wealthy. So we're talking about giving. This is a series that we're doing on giving called Enriched, where we've talked about how you have been enriched. It's going to sound a whole lot different than most series on giving. You know, somebody before service was even asking me, they said, boy, I bet you don't like talking about giving because of it makes people feel, you know, self-conscious, or, oh, it's going to be about giving my money and all this kind of stuff. And I said, you know, what's interesting is if you really look at what giving is, if you actually look at what God has given us to give, there should be no reason why this should be an uncomfortable conversation, but one that we enjoy, one that we talk about, the outflow of our lives. And so it changes everything, having the pure gospel as our foundation, having something that we stand on where we understand God's disposition and his favor towards us. We know that we don't have to earn it or try to work towards it. So giving becomes something fun. It becomes this outflow of our life. And by the way, it's not just about your money. It's about all of the wealth that God has given you, and he has enriched you with much wealth. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said that the guy that has everything and God and everything, has just as much as the person who has God alone. In other words, if you have God, like our minds, we forget just how incredible that is, how massive that is, that in any moment of your life, in any situation, any circumstance that's happening, in any time, it can change because we have God as our God. We have the most incredible God ever. Right, he's the only God. He's not like the made-up ones who proclaim to offer you things if you offer them something. God gives you just because he wants to, because he loves you. Any situation can change. You can go from sadness to gladness at any time. Now, this is because of what happened the moment that you believed. The moment you believed, maybe you were the kind of person that had just one of those supernatural, incredible moments. The room was glowing and the whole thing. Maybe that was your salvation experience. Maybe you had the experience where you prayed over here and you didn't really feel anything change. But just despite what your experience was, so much more happened. I mean, so much more happened the moment you saved than we have any idea. Because in this moment that you and I believed, God gave you an abundance of something. That means more than enough. He gave you more than enough of his life, okay? Now, it was so overwhelming, it killed you. It was so overwhelming, you couldn't handle it. And so you had to be reborn into something that could handle God's relationship, his presence. It was so incredible, even if you didn't experience or feel it in this moment. Now, this word life, though, gets confusing because you and I say things all the time with this word that are hilarious. We say things like, my life is going good. And then like 2 minutes later, my life is going bad. And then this thing about my life is really annoying, or I don't like this about my life, or I like my life. I don't like it. It's really, really confusing, okay? The thing is that you and I as believers, though, we're not living by life. We're not living just by whatever our span of time here on earth is where we did stuff, okay? That's what I call that version of life, right? It's the span of time on earth where you did stuff, okay? Maybe it was great, maybe it wasn't, but we don't live by that life. We live by something called eternal life. We live by the life that he gives us. So, life may be what you make it, But eternal life is what God has made it. And that is what you and I live on. It's what you and I live on every single day. Therefore, the circumstances of your life are not your life. They're not your actual life. Now, the moment you received this overwhelming abundance of life, you received two different things were enriched: your speech and your knowledge. And I love this. God, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart is where your mouth will speak. You'll share the things that are from your heart. And so what does God do? He gives you a brand new heart so that your speech will change. You'll no longer just say the things that you're seeing in the world. You now say things that God speaks to your heart. You now speak the truth. You have speech that you can use that has authority to it. That's what you and I have. And he also gives us knowledge. This word knowledge means experience. It's an experiential relationship with God. Like, this stuff blows my mind every single day, right? That we have a relationship with God where he changed our speech so we could say the things that he says in a world like this one, where we can see change happen because we are children of God. We can know him from the inside out because we're his children. It's amazing to me. God doesn't take from you. I don't know what your dad is like. I don't know what your dad was like. I don't know if he was the kind of dad that you were concerned, man. He may come and take something from me, but God is not a taker. He is a giver of good and perfect gifts. That is what your father is like. He doesn't need anything that you have. Frankly, you don't have anything worth much, okay? He doesn't need it. He can provide for you and that alone. God does not tempt or test you, we talked about last week. He doesn't put you through things to see how you're going to do. That's not your father at all. At Christmas, my youngest daughter, got this little, it's like a pot, and it's got like all these little plants in it and stuff. It's a fairy garden, okay? And you put the little fairy thing in there, paint it. It's really cute. And honestly, I don't know how it works. Like, it really may be magical. I don't know. But like, all I know is like, there, you put this like dirt of like this much dirt in there. You put some seeds in the water and all that, and these sprouts are huge. I'm like, I don't know how they're even standing up. Well, I came in there the other day, and I'm guessing they didn't get water today or something. They were sitting there, and they're all kind of drooping down, okay? And plants are amazing, and plants do not struggle with finding the source of life. They don't do this. Like, they know where to turn. They know where to look. Now, this was weird to me because it happened so fast, but I watered them. I put them next to the window. I opened up the window, and I walked away for maybe 35 minutes. I come back. All of the leaves of this plant that were drooping like this have now turned up like this and turned and faced the window. You're not impressed by this. I'm blown away by this, okay? Like, you're like, Javen, that's kindergarten. That's awesome. No, it's amazing. Like, it's just incredible. I mean, all of them facing the same direction, like, hands out like this is what I imagine, just saying, I need the sun. I'm hungry, right? And this is you and I. This is what we get to do. We get to turn our petals towards the Lord and receive from our Father who gives abundantly. He doesn't hold back from you. He wants to give you life. And so let's be like the plants. Whereas the thief comes to steal. And what does he come to steal? But he comes to steal your life, your purpose, and your authority. He wants to attack all three of those things. So he lies to you. He tries to get you to believe a lie. But the truth is that we don't have a thief. We have a Savior. We have a shepherd. We have one that has protected us, and he has given us life. He's given us purpose. Oh, and he's given you authority to speak this word that he has given you. He reaped what he sowed. He sowed love, and he has reaped the harvest of love. And you and I will get to do the same thing because we live by the Spirit. Now, I said this last week in some way, but I said it this way, that giving is not, it's not evidence of your commitment to God. Giving is not this proof, if you will, that you're doing something for God, which is, by the way, what you will commonly hear taught, okay? There's a church in town, for example, and I don't say this for any other reason except just to speak the truth. They said this, they said that if you're not giving your resources to the church, that you're giving your resources then to the devil, okay? I don't know where they got that scripture from. Like, I couldn't find it. But I can tell you this, is that this is what happens, right? We start getting in this weird mindset about giving when as a proof or a test of our commitment to God. That's not what giving is. Giving is actually proof or commitment that God has made in you. It's something God has done. He's deposited an abundance of wealth in you to give away. So it's actually just proof that you're a good receiver from what God has given you and you want to share it. I shared the story last week about the police officers who were given this money to just give away, and then they pulled people over and handed out $100 bills, you know, people that looked like they needed it, you know. And he says, basically, there wasn't their money. It wasn't taxpayer dollars, don't worry. It was actually money that was raised by people that just wanted to do something nice, and they gave it to these police officers to give out. And that is our life as givers. You're not giving away your money. You're not giving away something that you've earned from God or something. No, he gives you ample blessing and enough to give away. And that's the kind of life that you and I have as givers. Maybe you've prayed a prayer similar to this. You said this. You said, God, take me where I can be used by you. I prayed that prayer when I first got saved. I said, Lord, I don't have any idea how your love could be this great, but I'll do anything. So take me to where I can have the most impact for my life, like wherever that would be. If it's on a stage, fine. If it's in a soup kitchen, fine. Wherever it is, let's go. And maybe you've prayed a prayer like that too. Maybe you want your life to count for something. You want to give away your fame, if you will, or your story. You want it to count in this world. Now look, maybe you've not had those kind of grandiose thoughts, but you've got kids and you want to have an impact on their life. You want their lives to be impacted by your giving and by your life. Well, I have good news for you today is that you can, and it begins first by this phrase, seek first the kingdom. A phrase that Jesus once shared, and it was huge at the time. It was totally different than anything they ever heard. Seek first the kingdom. Now, as believers, let me tell you something. You don't need to seek the kingdom, okay? I know that sounds controversial because Jesus said it. But see, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. He hadn't been there yet. Everything was going to change after the cross. There wasn't going to be that you needed to seek the kingdom. The kingdom was going to be here. It was present. It was accessible. So it's not that believers need to seek the kingdom. Jesus said he gave you the keys to the kingdom. So you have keys. It's yours. You own it. You're part of it. But he said the order is what is important. First, put the priority of your life with the kingdom first. That it is the first priority of your entire life. Allow the kingdom to bring order or structure to the rest of your lives. And that's what we have as believers. We put the kingdom first. We have it. We're not looking for it. We order our lives by it. So when I say things like this, let me give you an example. When I say things like, you are wealthier beyond your wildest imaginations. I imagine some of you guys in the front row are thinking, I don't even have a job yet. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know? Right? The idea being is that, Javen, you're saying that, but I don't see it. There's this spiritual and physical seeming breakdown. Like, I don't get it. There's a movie called The Matrix, which I quote every once in a while. I did the spoon thing last time. I'm going to tell you a different story from The Matrix this time. This is the moment. If you've never seen this movie, by the way, you're going to have to go watch it because I'm going to quote it every once in a while. But there's a moment in the movie where Neo, who's the main character, is hanging out with Morpheus, another main character. The names are awesome, I know. And they end up on top of this building. Now, what's happened, if you've never seen this movie, is they've gone from the real world and they've been deposited inside of a virtual reality kind of world, okay? So they're living inside of something that's fake. And Neo is aware that this is not real. He just came from the real world. He put on the headset, so to speak, and now he knows this is not real. And Morpheus is telling him, look, man, you can do things here that you can't imagine. You can break the laws of physics. You can do these kinds of things. And he looks at Neo and says one of the coolest lines in any movie, and he goes, free your mind. It's so cool. Free your mind. And then he turns around, you know, and he runs. And he just jumps off the building and he soars, you know, like across to like another. As he breaks the laws of physics, he just flies, you know, over there and lands another building. And Neo, I love this moment because it's every believer at some point in time. He's standing on the edge of the building. He's about to run and jump, you know, and he's doing this. He's like, free your mind, free your mind. I mean, he's got no idea what he's doing, but he's like, okay. And he just runs and he jumps. And just like Peter sank, he sinks all the way to the ground and hits the ground and discovers that it's not real, okay? And he wakes up. And that's kind of the point. All of us may feel like Neo at first. You may be hearing, you're wealthy beyond your wildest dreams, and you're thinking, free your mind, you know, I can't see it, I gotta see it. And it is there, and that's the point of kind of today, is God has given us a way to see the spiritual impact, the physical in our lives, and I want to look at that with you today. He's given us two ways to overcome, Scripture says. When we get to Revelation, we find there are two ways that you and I overcome every situation and every circumstance in this world, okay? Number one, he says it's by the blood of the Lamb. It's by the new covenant. It's by what Jesus did. And do you know what he overcame in that moment for you? Oh, I don't know, death, sin, all that stuff. I mean, the whole list, basically everything. So what's the point of the word of your testimony, right? If it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, well, what's the point? Jesus seemingly did everything in just the new covenant. Well, he gives us the word of our testimony. He gives us this other aspect of our life where he gave us speech. He gave us knowledge, experiential knowledge, where we can look at things and speak the word of our story, what God is doing in our lives, and watch as God does incredible things in front of us. Like, that is what you and I have at our disposal. We have both the word of God, and we have the word working through our lives to tell a story or to spread the fame of his glory to the entire world. It's not a mental game. It's not something that we're trying to trick ourselves into seeing. Neo, eventually, in the movie The Matrix, flies. At the very end of the movie, he kicks on some Rage Against the Machine and flies across the whole sky. It's like the coolest thing. The guy that couldn't jump from one building to the next suddenly can fly. Do you know what changed? Do you know what happened? He died. I'm ruining the movie for you, by the way. He died. He gets shot, he dies, and he gets brought back to life. I won't ruin that part. And he discovers this is all fake. It's not real. And he has this epiphany, this moment, this mind change, this moment of repentance, if you will, where suddenly he realizes, wait a minute, I can control this. All right, so maybe that's you, and you wonder, well, how do I see the spiritual impact, the physical? Look, the first thing we've got to remember is we have died. Right? The thing the enemy tries to get us to believe all the time is that you haven't died yet. You still got things you got to do for God and all that. Look, you have died, and our life now is in Christ. Don't despise your life. Don't say things like, I hate my life. Don't say these kinds of things. Don't use your speech to say these kinds of things, because circumstances, the span of time you did stuff on the earth, can change in a moment. I'm telling you, a moment, a 1 second difference. My life changed in a moment. I know what that feels like. And that's the way God works. We've died so that we could receive good and perfect gifts. So if you're somebody who's going through it, welcome to the club. We're all going through it. But if you're walking through it, you got to remember your circumstances are not your life. It's not your story, but you need to share your story of what God is doing. Okay, look, so oftentimes I think believers get afraid of just sharing the truth. You know, somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, how are you doing? And you feel this like, well, I got to represent the kingdom today, you know. I'm doing wonderful. Life is great, you know. And meanwhile, you're on the inside hurting and all that kind of stuff. Look, the world doesn't need that. The world doesn't need you to be Superman. The world doesn't need you to be awesome at all. The world just needs to see Jesus. They need to see how awesome he is. So it's perfectly okay to say something like, man, I got to be honest right now. I'm just going through it. Life is not very great for me right now. But I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. God loves me. And I'm going to walk with him and trust him. You see, you can both share something you're going through, but then remember, you have speech. He's placed something in you that beats to the rhythm of his drum, that beats to his heart. And you can share that and watch your circumstances change. You may love your story. You may not like your story. But either way, your story or your fame will be in the land. Your story will be told. It is not a lack of faith. Let me share this for just a moment. It is not a lack of faith to ask God for something, okay? That might sound surprising to you. But there are some that believe that because we've received everything in Christ, that now if you ask for something, it looks like you have no faith, or you're saying that you haven't received something. Or people will say this, don't pray for God to heal you because you've already got that healing. And so don't look, let me tell you right now, that's just incorrect. Okay, we can ask. In fact, God says to ask. He says that's what he loves. He loves to provide. But if you have received everything, and the way that I like to see it is like this. It's like having $1 million in my bank account, but then going through Chick-fil-A and forgetting my wallet, okay? You've been there. You've probably gone somewhere and you forgot your wallet somewhere. And it's not that you don't have money, you just didn't have it on you in the moment. And the same way, we have got these spiritual riches, which are just innumerable. It's an abundance to us. And we can ask God knowing that we're only receiving what's already ours. We're only receiving. We're making a withdrawal. God, I need to see your blessing. I'm believing you for it. So he gives us supernatural riches that impact the physical. Let me show you this through two Joshuas. I'm going to show you through two different Joshuas, both Joshua of Israel and then, of course, Jesus himself. And I want to show you how the shadow or the type of, you know, we looked at Joshua's life, like what it looked like and the things he did and how it mirrors Jesus and his story. If you remember Israel, if you remember this place that they're in, They've paid dearly for their sin. They're wandering a desert. I don't know what your week last week was like, but I don't know if you were wandering a desert, hoping for food, all that kind of stuff. They're living in this, and the time has come for them now to go to Jericho and to receive this promised land. Okay, imagine the excitement. But in case you forgot what Jericho was like, it was this land of milk and honey. This is going to sound familiar. It had everything they needed. It was the kingdom, if you will. It provided for them. It provided safety and security. It had everything. Their lives would be fulfilled in the kingdom of Jericho, or in this promised land, so to speak. So in this moment, Joshua, he's planning, he's looking at it all, but he also is remembering it's not just milk and honey, right? It's giants. It's giants, not the kind that lose to Dallas either, but giants, real giants, okay? There's walls, there's armies. I don't know about you, but when you're facing your problems, isn't that kind of how it feels? There's a wall, there's an army, that it's insurmountable, there's absolutely no way. Like, I don't know how in the world. And here Joshua has this moment. So what does he do? He plugs into the source. Let's read and let's see what God says to Joshua. The Lord said to him, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its valiant warriors." I mean, at this point, Joshua's excited. "You shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once." I imagine he's taking notes going, okay. "You shall do this for 6 days, all right? Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you'll march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead." Okay. You're Joshua, you're seeing the wall, you're seeing the armies, you're seeing the giants, and you're going, all right, God, are we going to do like a fiery tornado this time? Are you going to like fireball it? Are you going to like have the earth just open? Like, what are you going to do? And he's ready to take notes, and he's like, all right, what you're going to do is you're going to get your toughest guys, and you're going to walk around it. And he's like, yeah, to intimidate them, you know? Yeah, all right, we'll stank eye them, you know, the whole way, you know? All right, what's next? All right, by the last day, what we're going to do is we're going to walk around, we're going to blow some ram's horns, and we're going to scream at the wall. I mean, come on. You put yourself in the story. You imagine Joshua's going, okay, like that doesn't sound, that's some weird. No, but this is the thing. Joshua didn't do that. You know what he did? He believed God. He heard what God said, and he said, okay. So he got the people together. Guys, it's kind of a strange plan, but we're going to do this. And so they go out there, and they do it, and you know what happens. But before we get to that, there was something that God wanted Joshua to see. What did he start off by saying? "See that I've given you the city." They hadn't conquered the city yet. They hadn't even engaged the city yet. But it had already been conquered because God said it was conquered. You see? He said, see. He wanted Joshua to experience something about him. And that is that we on earth see, but we see differently, in a way that's different. We see by hearing. It's really weird. We're called peculiar people for a reason. We see by what God is saying, not what we actually see with our physical eyes. Like, this is the kind of life that you and I have. So what are you facing? Well, let me ask you a different question. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? Why did God do this? Let's read together. Joshua 6:20. "So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city." They walked right in. Did you know when they excavated, they looked into this here recently, I read that the wall looks like it went straight into the ground. Like, it wasn't that it crumbled down to the ground, it just sunk into the ground. Can you imagine standing there like, oh, I've got this great wall in front of us, and okay, it's like this is a bad day. This is what God does. It breaks our knowledge or understanding or principles. He just makes it sink into the ground. So Joshua 6:27 says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land." What do you think the story was? Man, do not mess with Joshua, right? If he starts walking around you, by the way, like, get out. Like, just get out. No, the story wasn't about Joshua. The story was about God is with Joshua. That was the story. It wasn't really about Joshua. It's who was with him. And this is the good news for you and me in just a moment, is who's with us. Do you tell your story, or do you tell your problems? What do you use your speech for? Because we've all got problems. But the second Joshua or Jesus would give us an answer to our problems. Do you have needs in your life today? Let me give you some wise words. Enjoy the kingdom instead. Enjoy the kingdom instead of your problems today. You can do that today. Look at Matthew 6, 33 through 34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, all the troubles that you think you're facing, all the needs you have, will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Man, each day has enough trouble of its own. Your Father knows that you need stuff. And the good news is the flow of life does not go from stuff to God. It doesn't go from the gift that you've given God to God. That's not how that works. Actually, the flow is the reverse. The flow of life is from God to stuff. It's from spiritual to physical. It's never the other way around. It's why God doesn't need anything that we have to offer. Because it's not how it works. The flow of life goes the other way around. Look at this. You want to see how it impacts the physical. Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You are not designed to do anything but reign in life because of the abundance of grace and the abundance of life that you have received. This is what we have today. All we need to do is turn our petals towards him. Quit trying to figure it out on your own. Just turn towards him and receive. The impact of your life on your family, on your friends, on your children, on your coworkers, on everyone is actually found in this flow of life where you're giving away what God has given you. That's how you impact the world in a lasting way. Let me give you just real quick just three reasons that your life will have an impact as you give. I'm going to give these to you quickly. Number one, the reason why you can absolutely know if you follow these steps, you will have an impact is number one, because his words are never empty but full. What you're sharing isn't empty. You know, I used to pray when I'd go downtown or share the gospel or whatever. It was like, Lord, you know, I hope no one asks me a question I don't know the answer to, you know. I don't have that fear anymore because I realize that if I just share the words he's given me, they are full. They're powerful, and they will not return void. Let me give you the scripture, Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear fruit and or bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower, see, it's abundance, and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. He gave us Jesus. This is obviously about Jesus. He gave us the word. He sowed the word, knowing that Jesus going into the world would always reap a harvest. He knew his word would reap a harvest every time. And the incredible thing is, he's placed his word inside of you. So that you can use your speech in any situation. You can use the experience that you have with God to speak his word into the world. And can I tell you something? It will not return back to you void, because Jesus never returns empty, but he's always full. So whatever your situation is, you can speak truth into it knowing, oh, that's not just words. That's not just me trying to free my mind or something. No, that's me speaking into the reality of how things are from the truth that's been placed inside of me, and now I'm going to go ahead and just put it out into reality. That's what you and I get to do together. It's incredible. His words are never empty, but full. We get to be a part of this process of giving by giving this faith to the word world. Number two, grace means reaping where he sowed. We're going to talk about reaping and sowing next week, but before we look at the earthly version of this, you got to know how God works. Grace breaks all the rules. Grace means reaping where he sowed. You didn't sow these things, but he did, and you're reaping it. He knew we would have need, so he clothes us in righteousness. Do we have any idea how massive that is? Paul says it this way. He goes, look, it's like living in the day of salvation. It's living in the day of the Lord. He goes, you want to know what it's like? It's like being forgiven and feeling that the feeling of forgiveness and being set free and saved. Paul said that's the kind of life that you and I are now living in. That's the kind of world we're now living in. So Paul says, look, if you looked at my life, though, you wouldn't believe that. In fact, if you looked at my life, you would see a lot of things. It looks like I'm sowing and sowing and sowing, but all I'm reaping back, it looks bad. It's beatings and imprisonments, and boy, we're being called liars, and we're being called false teachers, and we're being called all of these things. But Paul says this, but we're reaping patience. We're reaping kindness. We're reaping love. We're reaping power. We're reaping a story that's not our own. We don't even get it. And this is our life as well, where we're giving our lives away, the resources of our lives. And you don't have to have the whole picture of that. Paul certainly didn't. But look at what he said in 2 Corinthians 6:10. He says, listen, I am sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I am poor. This is where he uses this word enriched. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Paul's saying, I have been enriched. It doesn't matter if I'm in jail. It doesn't matter if I'm in a house. It doesn't matter where I am. I'm a child of God. That's what we wake up with every single morning. I am a child of God. And 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, that you would have an abundance for every good deed. See that I have given you the city. See it. See it. What are you facing? See, he's given it to you. He's given you the city. So what does resting look like? While we're waiting for the manifestation of whatever thing we're praying about or we're asking for, what does it look like in the meanwhile? How do we get from point A to point B? 2 Corinthians 12, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses. Is this the kind of things that you say? I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Sharing your struggles, your difficulties, the things that you face should never bring embarrassment or shame to you. I know it may feel that way, but these aren't things that you need to be embarrassed about or feeling shameful about. But instead, we need to welcome each other around your family, where you can boast in these kinds of weaknesses and say, look, I don't have what I need, but I have him. I am a child of God. We can encourage each other. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. We reap what we did not sow. We enjoy the blessings of what Jesus did. You and I get the strength of that. Number three, and the last one is this, love will always produce a harvest. You want to guarantee that your giving will impact the world? There is one gift you can always give. It will do nothing but reap a harvest of itself back, and that's love. The Bible says that love never fails. You can plant it in the ground, it will always grow love, every single time. John 13 says this, a new command I give you to love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love another, love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Look, this was new to them. This was a whole new idea to them. To not just love based upon the way you've been loved, to give because you've been given. And this whole idea of even Stephen fairness kind of stuff, it goes out the window. Jesus says to love the way I love. I don't love on conditions. I don't love on what you do for me. I just love. He just does things out of love. You and I can do that, and you can go give love. Every one of us have something to give because you can give love away. You can give prayer away. You can give away your life in other kinds of ways. And God has even promised not even just give you enough, but to give you more than enough so that you have some to give. So turn down the worries this week. Turn down the troubles this week. And turn your petals instead towards him and receive the abundance of what he's given you. Receive it. Experience it. And your fame or the story of your life or his story in you will be known throughout the land. And everybody will know and remember you for him. I had a friend that I share with you guys every once in a while. He was a very close friend of mine that passed away some years ago. And when it hit his funeral, when this whole place was filled up in this room, and there wasn't a seat left, and it was incredible. Because you looked at his life and you thought, like, well, he was a successful athlete. He had done some things in his life of noteworthiness. But this room was packed. I've been to funerals of people that have done incredible things and not seen this. And the reason why was because he sowed love his entire life. If you were to ask anybody about Chris, the first thing they would say is, oh my goodness, he loved. He was just so loving. He'll have an impact the rest of his life, even though he's not even here. His life will go on, is what I mean. And that's what you and I get to do. We get to tell this story because in 2 Corinthians 5:7 it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. You've given us a story to share. You've given us something to give the world. You've given all of us something to give. Lord, I pray specifically during this time, during this last song of worship, Lord, I just pray right now for every person that's here that has need. Lord, we all have needs. We all have things that we have prayers for. But Lord, I just pray right now as we open up our petals, if you will, if we turn our attention towards you right now, I just pray that you would fulfill, show us, give us that confidence that you're with us, and let us feel the wealth that you've given us.